Hey, you're listening to the Scholarly Spark podcast. Here's your chance to finally become interested in learning and find out about what you're genuinely curious about. Join me as we experience different foods, the latest technology, immerse ourselves in a variety of phenomenal cultures, discover the secrets of civilization, find out about interesting people we never knew existed, and learn about what no one else dared to find out. I'm Vasant Narayanan, taking you on a journey through the mysteries of our world, all through the convenience of your headphones. Here we go. Consider your home's layout. It's only the floor layout that's important, not the walls. The floor plan shows where the walls and doors are, as well as where a staircase might be, and how many windows are in each room. There are no appliances or furniture in the room, but could you identify what each room's purpose is just by looking at the floor plan? Could you pinpoint your bedroom's location and distinguish it from the rest of the house? Could you tell if the door on the left was the front door or the back door? You might be able to, but you might not. You simply have to make an educated guess. Archaeologists must conduct this task on a regular basis, sometimes even without access to a building's full floor plan. Each location they visit provides its own set of obstacles in mentally rebuilding the structures and artifacts that formerly stood there. The city of Pompeii, for example, has been very well preserved. Others necessitate a lot more speculation to figure out what the whole construction looked like and what it was utilized for. One such location is Ingapirca, Ecuador. Despite being Ecuador's largest archaeological site, and one of the Inca Empire's northernmost archaeological sites, much about Ingapirca remains a mystery, including the site's principal purpose. Historians and archaeologists have been researching it since the Spanish invasion of South America in the 16th century, but the amount of information they have gleaned about the site is restricted due to the numerous hurdles in their path. In this episode, I want to introduce you to Ingapirca as a problem and a puzzle, as well as how various experts have attempted to answer it. So prepare to ascend into the northern Andes on the Inca path as we unravel the mysteries surrounding the Ingapirca site. The site's layout is uneven, following the contours of the mountain it stands upon. An elliptical structure known as the Templo or the Castillo stands near the complex's western extremity, though its exact use is unknown. Additional rooms can be found to the south of the Templo. A sequence of rooms to the east of the Templo are known as the La Condamine, named for a French explorer of the same name, whose account of the site has become the authoritative reference for researchers. Between the annexed rooms on the west and La Condamine on the east, an arcing wall to the south stretches. Further southeast of La Condamine, the complex includes an open terraced space with bodegas or cellars and a plaza or quichua that may have housed workshops or kitchens. Pilaloma is the complex's southeasternmost structure, and it consists of many rooms arranged around a patio. At Pilaloma, a vast burial site was discovered. However, it was not for the Inca, but for the Kari, an indigenous people that lived in the area before the Incan advance. The parts of Ingapirca's constructions that have survived are made of dry stone with no mortar, because to the ravages of time and the removal of stones by locals to build or repair new structures, only the Templo's walls have any substantial height left. Looking away from Ingapirca, the surrounding environment is mountainous, though not as harsh as that which surrounds Machu Picchu, a more famous Inca site. Around the latter half of the 15th century, the Inca began conquering what is now Ecuador. They expanded upon an empire that stretched back to a noble family from surrounding Cusco in the 12th and 13th centuries, but it only began to develop in earnest with Emperor Pachacuti's ascent to the throne in 1438. The Inca conquered approximately 100 countries, established Quechua as the empire's official language, laying down 14,000 miles of highways, and developing a sun-centered religion. Pachacuti, with his son Topa heading the victorious army, began the conquest of what is now Ecuador in 1463. Huayna Capac, Topa's son, fully absorbed Ecuadorian peoples and areas into the empire around the beginning of the 16th century, and created Quito as a type of second Inca capital in his later years. Not long after Huayna Capac's death, Spanish explorers led by Francisco Pizarro took advantage of Huayna Capac's sons, Atahualpa and Huascar, in a succession dispute. Pizarro and his forces eventually caught both successors and executed Atahualpa, essentially ending Inca authority by installing Atahualpa's brother as a puppet monarch. The Inca Empire, known in Quechua as Tahuantinsuyu, which means four parts together, was thus completely subjugated by the Spanish colonial machine. Topa Inca Chopanqui led his forces across Ecuador and conquered it. Therefore, Inca Pirca, or at least parts of it, existed before the Inca invaded. Cari people had long occupied the region and built their own architectural traditions before the Inca occupied it. With its mountaintop location, Inca Pirca is one of a handful of santuarios de altura, or high sanctuaries of the Cari, that fall under the Huaca, or sacred places in Quechua. Cari architecture at Inca Pirca is visually unique from Inca architecture, featuring spherical homes with partitions and shelves on either end, according to Mara Enriqueta Carvajal and Daniel Hidalgo Molina, who wrote a formal analysis of the site. Cari architecture, they wrote, commonly had, quote, elliptical platforms enclosed by rectangular constructions and occasionally protected with walls and terraces attached to the slopes. Cari employed round stones and mud mortar to construct their larger constructions, but the Inca employed dry masonry and much more accurately cut stones. The Cari were known to be fiercely opposed to Inca conquest, yet knowledge of how strict the Inca were once they captured the Cari is mixed. The presence of Cari architecture at Inca Pirca implies that, rather than complete conquest, there was some degree of fusion between the two cultures. According to an interview with current-day Cari anthropologist José Antonio Quinde Buscan, the Cari kept their land rights after the Inca invaded. But this contradicts other scholars that claim that, quote, all land and resources in conquered areas became the property of the Inca state. In any event, it appears that the Inca modified an existing site to their needs rather than razing it and starting from scratch when it came to Inca Pirca. When Charles Marie de la Condamine visited Inca Pirca on an expedition in 1739, he created extensive sketches and descriptions of the location. He said, the site functioned as a fortification of the Inca Empire, whose aim was to safeguard the imperial frontier. Following La Condamine, a number of other researchers tried to figure out what Inca Pirca's purpose was, but they never came to an agreement. A palace, a temple, a fortress, a castle, an observatory, an administration center, or a Formicari moon temple that was turned into an Inca sun temple. These have been the general roles attributed to Inca Pirca, according to Monica Barnes and David Fleming's assessment of La Condamine's work. Some scholars propose combinations or variations of some of these. Carvajal and Molina, possibly the most recent authors on the topic in 2018, still do not attempt to definitively name the site's primary function, though they do mention that it was most likely the site of Hatankar, an Inca Empire local provincial capital. Interestingly enough, people have often imagined the role of the Inca Pirca to simply be what they like. Barnes and Fleming write, there has been a certain inclination for those with a particular non-archaeological background to consider Inca Pirca as a monument of their own unique professions. Perhaps solving the mystery of Inca Pirca does not need elaborate historical explanations and proof and evidence. Perhaps it can simply be left to our imaginations and what we would like it to be. It's been super fun learning with you. Thank you for taking the time to listen to me. Join me next week as we explore another part of the numerous and ever-increasing mysteries of our world. I'm looking forward to exploring something new that you've never heard about next week. Talk soon.